Tonight's share is on Sefer Yonah, and the title of the share tonight is Yonah's Death Wish and the Tree. So tonight we're going to look at the last parak in Sefer Yonah, which we read on Yom Kippur, because I'm anticipating that I'm not going to be able to give share because Yom Kippur is on Wednesday. So we'll look at the last parak of Yonah. There's a couple interesting facets to the last parak, and I want to try to understand Yonah on a deeper level. So if we look in source number one, it starts with, the shiur starts with Yonah Perek Dalet. And just a little background, if you're not familiar with the story of Yonah, Yonah was sent by Hashem to tell the city of Nineveh, which were non-Jews, that they were going to be destroyed in 40 days. He doesn't want to give them the Nevuah, which we'll explore in more depth in the shiur. And he tries to run away, but of course Hashem, you know, brings him back. And he does give the Nevuah to Nineveh, and Nineveh does tshuva, and then they're saved from their destruction. So at this point in Perek Dalet and Sefer Yonah, the Torah teaches us in Pasuk Aleph, Vayera el Yonah ra gedola vayichar lo. So the Torah teaches us in Perek Dalet that after Yonah saw that Hashem had mercy on Nineveh, he was upset, and it displeased him, and he was very angry at this. And so Yonah says to Hashem that I knew that you were going to be merciful to the Nineveh, and I know that you're slow to anger, and I knew this, and that's why I tried to escape in the first place, because I didn't want to see this result. I didn't want to see you have mercy, Rachmanis, on Nineveh, this non-Jewish city. So in source number one, Pasuk Gimel, he says, Ve'ata ad Hashem kachna es nafshi mimeni, ki tov mosi mechayai. So Yonah says at the end that he wants Hashem to take his life, take my soul from me, and because it's better for me to be dead than to be alive. So there's a couple interesting ideas that emerge from the first three Pesukim and Perek Dalet. But the questions are, you know, why was he so angry about this result if he anticipated this result? So that's the first question. And another question is, why was he so extreme in his anger? He's so extreme that he even says to Hashem, to kill him, take my soul from me, tov mosi mechayai, it's better that I be dead than be alive. So Yonah, he anticipated that Nineveh was going to do tshuva, and he knew that they were going to do tshuva, and he knew that Hashem was going to have mercy, and that's why he escaped in the first place. But when it actually happens, he's so distressed about it. So the question is, why was he so distressed? What made him so distressed? And also, why so extreme to the point where he wants to die? So what exactly is going on here? So Rashi on this pasuk, on these psukim, is really interesting. In source number two, Rashi says, Vayera el Yonah. Why was Yonah displeased? Was he upset? Amar Akshav Yomru Akim Shani Navi Hasheker. Now the non-Jews will think that I'm a Navi Sheker, that I'm a liar, I'm not a true prophet. And he says it again, Rashi, Haloze Devari in Bez, Yodeani Sheim Yaksru Bechuva Lo Tachrivam Ve'eya Shakran Beinehem. I knew, when he says to Hashem, I knew that you were going to have Rachamim on them and mercy on them, so, and they did Tshuva. Now I'm going to be a Shakran, I'm going to be a liar, because I went to Nineveh, and I told them that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days, and now they're not being destroyed because they did tshuva, so it makes me look like a liar. So it's funny, Rashi's saying that the reason why Yonah was so distressed was because he was concerned that the Goyim would look at him like a Navi Sheker. So there's a lot of questions on this as well. One question is, who cares? Why was he so bothered by the fact that the Goyim would now look at him as a Navi Sheker? But another question on Rashi... Another question on Rashi is, was this really true? Would the Goyim really look at him as a Navi Sheker? He told Nineveh that in 40 days their city was going to be destroyed. And Rashi explains that he's going to appear like a Navi Sheker, but it's not true. If we look in the Psukim, look in source number 3. It says, Vayachal Yonah lavo va'ir, mahalach yom echad, vayikra vayomar od arba'im yom, v'Nineveh ne'apeches. So in Perek Gimel, Yonah goes to Nineveh, and he says to them, in 40 days, you're going to be overturned, destroyed. Vayaminu anche Nineveh belokim, vayikru tzom, vayilbashut sakim, migdolam baktitanam. So Nineveh, they heard Yonah and they believed him, and therefore they started doing tshuva. They wore sackcloth, even their children wore sackcloth, and they started doing tshuva. So Rashi says that what displeased, what made him so upset, Yonah, was that this idea that the non-Jews were going to look at him like he's a Navi Sheker and he's going to look like a liar. But we see that when he actually went to Nineveh, they did tshuva and they believed him. And the reason why they did tshuva is because they believed what he was saying and they believed he was a Navi. So why now would they view him as a shakran, as a liar, if in reality they followed what he had to say and they listened to him? And if you look in source number 4, Rashi says, Nepeches Nechareves. So what does Nepeches mean? It means overturned, but it really means that they were going to be destroyed. But if you look in the parentheses, and I'm not sure if this is a good girsa, but if it is, it makes the question even stronger. He says, V'lo amar necha-reves, ki ne'afeches mishameh shtei lishonos. So the reason why the Torah and Yonah didn't use the word necha-reves, which means destroyed, but he used the word ne'afeches, you'll be overturned, because it has two implications, ra v'tov, evil and good. Im lo yasu tshuva necha-reves. If you don't do tshuva, then you'll be killed and destroyed. Vim yasu tshuva oz ne'afeches al anche niveh, ka'i shi'avchu mira'a l'tova of yasu tshuva. But if they do tshuva, then their gzera, their decree, will be overturned, and from ra to tov, to good. And that's what they... So according to this girsa, Yonah was actually telling Nineveh that if they do tshuva, then they'll be saved, or there's a potential for them to be saved. So we see that Yonah, he was concerned, and he was so upset, according to Rashi, and to the point where he wants to kill himself, or he wants to die, and he tells Hashem to kill him, because he was worried that the non-Jews, after they were received by Hashem and mercy was bestowed upon them and they were saved, that they would look at him as a shakran. But in reality, we see that they believed Yonah. And when Yonah told them that they were going to be destroyed, there's a little bit of a lashon in there that he was telling them to do tshuva. And if they do tshuva, they'll be saved. So why was he concerned that they would view him as a shakran, as a liar, when in reality, he wasn't a liar? And they were listening to exactly what he said, what he told them, and they followed it. And that's why they were saved. And if you look in source number 5, just to strengthen the same question, the people of Nineveh said, Umi yodea yashuv v'nicham elokim v'shav mecharanapo v'lo noved. So they understood what Yonah was saying, and they said, who knows, maybe we'll do tshuva, maybe Hashem will save us, and we won't be destroyed. Meaning that throughout the story of Nineveh and Yonah's going to Nineveh, they seem to believe him, they seem to follow him, they don't take it for granted that they're going to be saved, so they never view him as a liar. And in fact, they say, when they do tshuva, maybe if we do tshuva, we'll be saved. Look at the Radak in source number 6. Mi yodea, ulai yashuv v'nicham elokim b'shuvenu ima'aseinu ha'ra'im. So perhaps Hashem will go back, will regret, and he'll go back as long as we do tshuva. Oh, perish mishio dea darche tshuva, or the perish is he who knows the ways of tshuva, yashuv, we'll go back, we'll return, v'alokim yisparech yinachem, and then Hashem will have mercy or comfort or nechama, comfort. V'tergim yonasan man yada de'ispe chovat yasum inhon v'yisrachem alanam yikadam Hashem. Okay, fine, so the Radak is explaining that the people of Nineveh believed that there's the possibility of tshuva, and they did that, they did tshuva, and they were saved. So the questions up to this point are pretty obvious, and I just want to restate them, and then we'll ask an even stronger question on Rashi. He seems to contradict himself. But the questions up to this point are that in Perek Daled in Yonah, Yonah seems to be really upset. He says to Hashem, I knew you were going to do this. You were going to have mercy on Nineveh. And he wants Hashem to take his life. And Rashi explains that the reason is because he was concerned or nervous that the Goyim were going to look at him like a shakran, like he lied, because they really weren't destroyed. But the fact is that he didn't lie. And why was he so bothered or concerned that they would perceive him that way? And in fact, throughout the whole story, we see that they did believe him. And that's why they did tshuva. If they hadn't believed him, then they would have just, if they thought he was lying, they wouldn't have done tshuva. And after they did tshuva and they were saved, why shouldn't they believe him? Why should they look at him as a shakran? Okay, fine. So those are the questions. But now there's an even stronger question, which is that Rashi's kind of contradicting himself. Because in source number 7, in the beginning of Yonah, it says, Vayhi devar Hashem el Yonah ben Amitai lemor. So Hashem spoke to Yonah, the son of Amitai, to say, Kum lech al Nineveh ha'ir agadola ukra leha ki also ra'asa mufanai. He says to Yonah, go to Nineveh and tell them they're going to be destroyed, proclaim judgment, because their evil ways have come before me. Vayakom Yonah Livroch Tarshisha Milifnei Hashem Vayered Yafo Vayimtsa Oniya Ba'a Tarshish Vayitain Tzchara Vayered Ba Lavo Imahem Tarshisha Milifnei Hashem. So Yonah goes to escape. He wants to go to Chutz Laaretz, and he finds this boat, and he goes into this sea of Tarshish. He gives money to the sailors, and he goes with them, and he leaves, and he tries to escape. So if you look in source number 8, Rashi says there, Livroch Tarshisha, Yom Sheshmo Tarshish. It's the sea that's called Tarshish. V'hu b'chutz la'aretz. And it's in outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's considered chutz la'aretz. Amar, he said, Evrach li hayom, she'en ha'shchina shorah b'chutz la'aretz. I'll go to the sea, because the shchina is in shorah. Amar lo ha'kadosh baruch hu, chayecha, yesh li shluchim ki yotze b'cha, l'shloach acharecha u'laviyacha misham. And Hashem said back to Yonah, listen, I can send messengers to grab you and take you back. Mashal le'eved kohen shebarach min rabo. And he gives a mashal. It's like a kohen who tries to escape his master. V'nichnas le'beis hakvaros. And he goes into the beis hakvaros. Amar lo rabo yesh li avadim. Oh, sorry, it's an eved of a kohen. So it's the eved, the servant of a kohen. And he tries to escape. So he goes to the beis hakvaros because he knows that the kohen can't go into the cemetery. Amar lo rabo yesh li avadim ki yotze b'cha. I have other servants like you, slaves, l'shloach acharecha, that can go into the beis hakvaros. U'laviyach l'misham, and to grab you from there. So Hashem responds to Yonah, you're trying to escape, but I can figure out a way to get you back. Umar ra Yonah shelo ratza leilich. Now this is the interesting element. So why didn't Yonah want to go? El Nineveh, Amar ha'akum krovi tshuvahim. So he said that the Akum, the non-Jews, are really close to doing tshuva. Im omer lahem v'yasu tshuva. If I say to them that they're going to be destroyed and they do tshuva, nimtzeisi mechayev es Yisrael, then it'll make the Jews look bad and the Jews will be worse. She'ein shomim l'divrei ha'neviim, because the Jews don't listen to the Neviim. The non-Jews listen to the Neviim, Yonah was saying, but the Jews don't. So if Yonah were to go to Nineveh and tell them to do tshuva and they actually listen to him, it would make him look bad. Or not him, not just him, but it would also make the Jews look bad, sorry. So it would make the Jews look bad. It was bad for the Jewish people because these non-Jews, they're listening to the Navi, they do tshuva, but the Jews are always getting rebuke from Neviim, and they never listen, never do tshuva. So it makes it worse for the Jews in terms of the onesh we deserve. So what's interesting is, aside from defining that in itself, what's interesting is that Rashi's kind of contradicting himself, because Rashi over here in Perek Aleph, which we just read, is saying that the reason why Yonah didn't want to give this nevuah is because it would be bad for Klal Yisrael. But after it happens, and what happens is exactly what he predicted, which is that they did tshuva, and God forgave them, and he changed the decree, it says that he was upset. And why was he upset? Because he was going to be a Navi Sheker in their eyes. So it's funny, if he was really concerned about what would happen to Klal Yisrael, so then it should say that after what actually happened, and they were saved, Nineveh, it should say that he was upset, because it looked bad for Klal Yisrael, which is why he escaped in the first place. But instead, it says that he's upset and he's displeased because of the fact that he's looking like a Navi Sheker. So the question is, how do we understand this Rashi, these two Rashis? Because it's inconsistent. On the one hand, he's escaping and he's upset at this situation because on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And then on the other hand, he's very distraught and he wants to die because he looks like a Navi Sheker to the Goyim. So which one is it? What made him so upset about the situation of Nineveh doing tshuva? Which one is it? Is it what Rashi said in Perek Aleph, or is it what Rashi says in Perek Dalet? So that's really what I want to try to answer today, tonight in the Shir. And if we look further on, and you know, we'll get to a stopping point, it's, you know, in a couple of sources, like two or three sources, and then maybe if anybody has a possibility, just, you know, speak up and we'll try to talk it out and discuss. But the Radak is very consistent, unlike Rashi. And the Radak gives the same shot as Rashi in Perek Aleph, but then in Perek Dalet he says the same thing. Look in the Radak in source number 9, Vayerash, Sharasho Yera, Vechin Vayera, Be'ene Hashem, Teira, Eno, Vechol Asher, Be'mishkalam, Velo, Kedivere, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, fine. Ve'echio Yada Yona, Vadayan Lo Higia Mem Yom. How did Yona know what would happen to the Nineveh? It wasn't, 40 days wasn't up yet. Amar lo akel yisbarach baruch nevuah ki shav mimasha gazar lehem kevan sheshavu midarcha mara. So Hashem told Yonah with nevuah that he had forgiven them and that he had changed his gzera. And it says vayichar lo kemoshe pirashnu ba'avur Yisrael shelo shavu midarcha mara. So the Radak says, just like I explained, we explained before, that the Jews, they didn't go back on their evil ways when the Navi rebuked them, but now the Goyim are going back, it looks bad. And he says the same thing in Perek Aleph, the Radak is Rashi. Vayispalel Yonah hispalel kachnas nafshi v'amar betchilas tefilah, so ana Hashem. So in the beginning of his tefillah, he says, please Hashem, and haloze dvari masha yisi choshev v'medaber in libi, hayisi mefachet yashuvu utanachem ala rav, tiye tshuvasam goremes ra'al Yisrael. And what was he scared of? He was scared that the non-Jews would do tshuva, and this would cause harm to Klal Yisrael, same reason as before. Okay, and then if you look at Gimel, it says, "Yatal kachnas nafshi shelo ere baras Yisrael." Kemosh Amar Moshe Rabbeinu al v'shalom, v'chein ina misifrecha, v'chein Amar hargin ina harog. So at the end, it says that Yonah was so upset that he asked Hashem to take his life, and he says the reason is because he didn't want to see the downfall of Klal Yisrael. He didn't want to see, and it made Klal Yisrael look bad. They weren't doing tshuva. And he didn't want to see the downfall of Klal Yisrael, the evil, the bad that was done to them. And then it compares Yonah, and the Radak compares Yonah to Moshe. That after the Egel, Moshe says to remove him, Mechenina Mesifrecha, if Hashem doesn't forgive the Jewish people, take me out of this book. So he compares it to, Yonah is compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see that Rashi is a little inconsistent, but the Radak is very consistent. And the Radak says that the displeasure of Yonah, the sadness of Yonah, stemmed from the fact that he didn't want to see the destruction or harm done to Klal Yisrael as a result of Nineveh demonstrating their righteousness. And the Radak, interestingly, compares the extreme of Yonah, which is one of our questions, why does Yonah go to such an extreme, to the extreme of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to defend Klal Yisrael, he says to Hashem, Mechinina Mesifrecha. And this is a similar idea, the idea of Yonah. So we have to answer all these questions. Let's try to answer Rashi and try to give an idea for the Radak as to what the connection is between Moshe and Yonah. And maybe we can understand why Yonah is so extreme in his perspective and why he wants to die as a result of this displeasure. Okay, so that's the question. So the best way, I think, to tackle this is by looking at the story of Moshe Rabbeinu a little bit, because the Radak compares Yonah to Moshe, and we'll try to understand what exactly went on with Moshe, and then maybe we can use that information, those ideas, and try to tie it into Yonah and put everything together, hopefully. So if we look in Shmos, look in source number 10, and Shmos Lamed Beis, it says in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says, Vayashav Moshe El Hashem Vayomar Ana Chata Amazeh Chata Agdola Vayasu Lahem Elohei Zahav. So after the Egel, Moshe goes to Hashem, and he says that the Jewish people did a very terrible sin, and they made this golden god. So Moshe says to Hashem, if you bear their sin and you forgive them, good, but if you don't, so erase me from the book that you've written. And Hashem says to Moshe, he who sins towards me, he's the one who I'll remove from my sefer. So Hashem says, I'm not going to remove you from my sefer because of the fact that you weren't the sinner. I'll focus my anger on the people who sinned, not on the people who didn't sin. So Rashi says over there, interesting. He says, "V'ata im tisa chatasam harei tov. If you do, then great. Eini omer l'cha mecheni. Then I don't say I want to be removed from the sefer. Vim ayin, but if you don't forgive the Jewish people, mecheni, then erase me. V'zeh mikra katzar. This is a short pasuk. V'chein harbe misifrecha. Okay, v'chein harbe. And there's a lot of pasukim like this. He says, misifrecha, mikola Torah kula. So Moshe says, I want to be removed, erased from the whole Torah. Shelo yomru alai, so they don't say on me. Shelo ha'isi kidai levake shaleim rachamim. So that people who learn the Torah, they won't say that I was a failure. So he's concerned. Moshe's concerned that he's going to look like a failure if he doesn't save Klal Yisrael. So he says to Hashem, I'd rather be removed from the Torah than look like a failure, like I wasn't able to save Klal Yisrael. So that's interesting. We'll try to explain that. And then if you look at the Rashbam in source number 12, he says, Mecheni no misifrecha, sefer chayim asher kasafta. He says it's talking about life, that Moshe was demanding that Hashem kill him, if not for the fact that he forgives Klal Yisrael. Kedisiv kol akasiv l'chayim Yerushalayim hargeni no harog. So once again, Moshe, according to the Rashbam, Moshe is asking for his death, similar to Yonah, that Yonah was asking for Hashem to take his life. Moshe did the same thing when he's trying to defend Klal Yisrael. So what exactly is the idea of this? So if you look in source number 13, the Medrash, The Medrash gives us the first level of insight, and then we'll take it from there. So the Medrash says, "Ve'ata im tisachat asam im ayin mechenina, melamed shenasa nafsho al Yisrael." So we learn that Moshe, he gave up his soul, his life for Yisrael. Lefichach nikru al shemo. Therefore, Klal Yisrael is called by him, by his name. Vayiskor yimei olam, Moshe amo ayeh hamalim yam. It says that, let's remember the old days, when Moshe, his nation, ayeh, where is the one who took them from the sea? So we see from Yeshaya that Moshe, the Klal Yisrael is called Moshe's nation. So Moshe, because he gave himself up for the people, the Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael are called after him. So what is this idea? What exactly is the Medrash alluding to? And can we put all the concepts together, tie in this idea to Yonah and the idea of Rashi and the Radak? So what exactly is going on here? So I want to try a possibility. If anybody has a possibility to answer any of those questions, and there's numerous questions, so please just go ahead. If not, I'll just start an approach. So the approach that I was thinking about in thinking about all these different questions and problems is that really we see from Moshe Rabbeinu that the idea of him asking to be removed or even being killed, according to the Rashbam, is an idea that he associated and connected himself with Klal Yisrael to the utmost. And that's what the Medrash says. Melamed shenasa nafsho al Yisrael. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, he really tied his whole identity to Klal Yisrael, and he was willing to die for Klal Yisrael. So we see that that is really one of the factors or characteristics of the Navi, that a Navi is supposed to identify, associate to the point where they really see themselves as really part of Klal Yisrael, as one with Klal Yisrael. And that's the idea of the Navi. The Navi's role demands that he feel a certain way. He put his emotions in line with the emotions of saving Klal Yisrael, of defending Klal Yisrael, and really Klal Yisrael becomes associated with his own identity, the identity of the Navi. And I think that's the idea of Yonah as well, that Yonah, like the Radak says, Yonah was really so concerned that Klal Yisrael, seeing Klal Yisrael's demise, that he wanted to die. He couldn't tolerate it because he identified, associated himself with the success and failure of Klal Yisrael. So if Klal Yisrael succeeds, the Navi succeeds. If Klal Yisrael fails, then the Navi fails, because the perspective of the Navi must be one where he identifies with Klal Yisrael to the fullest extent. And that's the nature of a Navi, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu exemplified this idea in the sense that he really, it says, Vayiskar Yimei Moshe Amo Yam Alim Yam, that Moshe was able to exemplify this. But, and we'll go on after this into the Kikayon idea, because it has to tie in. But I think that's the first step. The first step is to understand that Yonah, when he asks Hashem to take his life, it's an expression, at least according to the Radak, and it seems like Rashi in Perek Aleph, it's an expression of the Navi's association, identification with Klal Yisrael as a whole, that he can't tolerate even seeing their destruction, their harm, and it's so distressful for the Navi because of his emotions and his identification with Klal Yisrael that he can't tolerate it. But there's another factor, and maybe we can explain Rashi, but there's another factor also in the Navi's in the Navi's identification with Klal Yisrael, which is that a Navi is a person who typically enjoys learning and gaining greater insight from God directly. And when you're a Navi, you're privy to information that regular people aren't, because you're on a higher level, and you're privy to ideas and to concepts that a regular person wouldn't normally be exposed to. So it seems like the Navi, in order to attain that level of Nevuah, where they can achieve and perceive these high-level ideas, these ideas that are not really for the Hamon, the Navi must identify with Klal Yisrael in order to gain more knowledge. And that was one of Moshe's recognitions, that when Moshe goes up to Hashem to daven for Klal Yisrael, he's always asking for more knowledge, because he knows that the way that the Navi gets more knowledge from God about Schar Va'onesh, about justice, about how God operates in the world, is through the vehicle of Klal Yisrael and through the vehicle of identifying with Klal Yisrael. So Moshe understood this, and Yonah understood this as well. Yonah understood that not only was he identified with Klal Yisrael and associated fully with Klal Yisrael, but he understood that the knowledge that was gained was really tied to his ability to identify. So the more one can identify with Klal Yisrael, the more knowledge one gains in the area of Nevuah that others can't gain. So Moshe Rabbeinu, that was one of the enticements of Moshe Rabbeinu to take the leadership. He didn't want to be a leader. He just wanted to learn. But on the other hand, the only way he could gain certain ideas and knowledge from Hashem was if he led and if he identified and associated himself with Klal Yisrael. So to Yonah had the same perspective. Yonah understood that in order for him to gain this high level of knowledge, he'd have to become associated with Klal Yisrael and feel what they felt. And that's what the Navi is supposed to do. But I think Rashi's pointing out another aspect, which is that he was concerned that he would be a Navi Sheker in the eyes of the Goyim. So what is that concern? So of course he was successful and the Goyim listened to him. But I think the concern is...
I had a question.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay, why is the Navi
de-identified?
Because it's more like the first role of the Navi.
Yeah, I'm saying Hashem interacts with the Jewish people, and his hashgacha and his divine providence of justice is one which is primarily bestowed upon the Jewish people. And therefore, when the Navi defends Klal Yisrael, identifies with Klal Yisrael, he's able to gain more knowledge from God. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to gain Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum, for example, because of the fact that he was davening on behalf of Klal Yisrael, but only through the vehicle of Klal Yisrael could he have gained that knowledge of Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum. He wouldn't have gained it as just a yachid. So that's what I mean. So I want to say the same thing for Yonah, that Yonah was, on the one hand, he was upset, like Rashi's saying in the first parak, and he was displeased because of the fact, there was displeasure, and he was upset and sad because of the fact that he identified, associated with Klal Yisrael to the utmost. But on the other hand, he also recognized that his nevuah now would be limited, because even though he was successful and they listened to him, but Yonah realized that his effectiveness as a Navi would now be limited. He was still listened to, and of course they were saved. But once you do that the first time, so it works. But the second time you go, so then there's less of a likelihood that you're going to succeed as a Navi. And that's what it means that he was concerned that he would be a Navi Shakran Beinam. Not that they didn't believe him, but he was concerned that this was his last chance to be a Navi because he wouldn't be used again as a Navi. And in fact, we see in the Torah that a lot of times Nevi'im don't get Nevuah for many, many years because there's really no need for them. They don't need to be used as a Shliach Hashem. So he was sad, not because he believed that Nineveh didn't listen to him, but he was sad because he thought or he believed that this was his last opportunity as a Navi because his effectiveness would be lost. Once the non-Jews are saved, now they no longer believe him, not that he was false or a liar, but once the non-Jews are saved, now his effectiveness as a Navi is hurt, is lessened. Because, whatever, they feel like they were saved. They feel like it was somewhat them that saved themselves, and they don't really trust him as much. So he knew that his role as a Navi was waning. So I would say that Rashi's pointing out both ideas that I mentioned. One is, in Perek Aleph, Rashi's pointing out that Yonah's upset, and he doesn't want to participate because, like Moshe, he identified himself with Klal Yisrael to the point where he couldn't tolerate seeing their failure. But on the other hand, he also was concerned about his own ability to gain knowledge as a Navi. And he realized that this was the end for him. If this didn't work, if he looked, not that he was a liar, that they didn't believe him, but if his effectiveness as a Navi was somehow hampered, so now he would lose out also on the knowledge that the Navi gains through the experience of being a Navi. So I think Rashi's pointing out that there are two aspects to Yonah being upset. One is that he wanted to die because he really identified fully with Klal Yisrael, and that's what the Radak is saying as well. But Rashi's pointing out another factor, which is that he wanted to die because he felt like his access to the knowledge that a Navi gains was now going to be removed from him because his effectiveness as a Navi was now trivialized. It was limited after this experience. So it's true that they listened to him and he was successful, but he was concerned. The concern of being a Shakran Beinam is not that they thought that he was a liar, but it was that the next time he would be used, he wouldn't be as effective because the first time, what he said didn't really happen and it didn't come out. So he was concerned about his own ability to gain knowledge as a Navi, and that's why he was so concerned and he's so extreme that he wants to die. It says that Tov Mosi Mechayai, meaning that he couldn't tolerate a life where he would no longer be in the role of a Navi and not be able to gain the knowledge that a Navi gained. So I think that's the chiddush here of the first idea in Perek Dalet, which is the nature of the Navi, which is to associate fully with Klal Yisrael, identify himself with Klal Yisrael. And that's why Yonah is compared to Moshe Rabbeinu by the Radak, because both of them did that. But also Yonah believed or maintained that he wouldn't be an effective Navi anymore because of what happened. And because of that, he was upset to the point where he wanted to die, because he maintained that his access to the knowledge of the Navi, which is the perk that the Navi gains by being associated with Klal Yisrael, was now going to be lost. And he would no longer have access to that information because he would no longer be a Shliach Hashem. But what's interesting... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm
saying the idea of running away from Hashem, like Rashi says, was because of the fact that he associated with Klal Yisrael, that he identified with Klal Yisrael. He didn't want to see any harm done to them. That's what Rashi says in the first. But then over here, he's upset when it actually happens because he realized that this is the end of the line for him as a Navi, that he may not get another chance because his effectiveness as a Navi was now going to be limited, and therefore he would lose out on the knowledge and the information that a Navi is privy to. So I'm saying that there's two aspects to the sadness of Yonah. One aspect is the typical sadness, like Moshe Rabbeinu, of identifying and not wanting, being unable to tolerate the destruction of Klal Yisrael. And the second was the idea of Yonah, whose life was associated with knowledge and philosophy, being unable to now gain the knowledge from God directly. So he was upset, and that's why he was willing to die, or he wanted to die. He's tefillah. But the question now, let's just take it further. So let's see if we can go on a little bit. So now the question is, so what's the idea of the Kikayon, the next part of Yonah, based on this information? So the Kikayon seems very obvious, and let's look at the mashal to Yonah, and hopefully we can answer it. So if we go on in Yonah, look in source number 14, what happens right after is, Vayomer Hashem hayitev charalach. So Hashem says, are you very grieved by this? Vayete Yonah min ha'ir, Vayeshev mikena ma'ir, vayas lo sham suka, vayeshev tachtea betzel, ad asher yire ma'ye ba'ir. So Yonah goes out to the city, he sits on to the east of the city, and he makes himself a booth, a sukkah. He sits in the shade to see what will happen. Vayiman Hashem Elokim kikayon, vayal me'al liyona, liyos tzil arosha, lahatzil lo meraso, vayismach Yonah al kikayon simcha gedola. So Hashem, he creates this tree. It's a ricinous tree, and it goes upon Yonah in order to be shade for him, and it removes him from his unhappiness, and he becomes very happy, Yonah. Vayiman Elokim tolas balus hashachar lemacharas vatachis akikayon vayivash. So then, of course, Hashem, he brings this worm, and the worm attacks the tree, and the tree dries out, and it's destroyed. Vayihikiz ruach hashemesh vayiman Elokim ruach kadim charishis vatach hashemesh al rosh Yonah vayisaldeif. So Yonah, once again, which is very interesting, which we'll try to explain, Yonah is so distressed by the removal of this kikayon that he asks for his death again. So Vayomer Elokim al Yonah heitev char alcha al kikayon, Vayomer heitev char ali ad maves. So he says, Hashem says to Yonah, are you so distressed, so upset about this? And he says, yeah, I'm so upset that I want to die, to the point of death. Vayomer Hashem, Ata chasta al kikayon asher lo amalta bo velo gidalto shevin laila hayo vin laila avad. So you're so upset about this kikayon that you didn't work for, you didn't do anything for, and it was born in the morning and destroyed at night. Vani lo achas al ninve ha'ir gedola asher yeshba harbe mishnemitzre ribo adam asher lo yada ben yamino lismolo vehema rabba. He says, I'm not supposed to forgive or have mercy upon the city of Nineveh, where there's 120,000 people and they don't know from right or left, and there's so many behemos. So what exactly is the lesson of the Kikayon? It's supposed to relate to the idea before of Yonah's unhappiness. And we said that Yonah was unhappy because he thought the Jews would be harmed by this situation. And now Hashem is explaining that he has to have Rachmanus and Bichas on the non-Jews as well. So what exactly did Yonah not get? What's the point of this? How does it fit in to what was troubling him? Or even according to Rashi, who says that the issue was that he was concerned that he would no longer be an effective Navi and he would lose out on the ideas of a Navi and not be privy to that information. What exactly is the point of the mashal of the Kikayon? What's it trying to show Yonah in this mashal? All right. If you could put the mute button on, it's just a little distracting if anybody has a mute button on. All right. Great. So let's look at the Radak in source number 15. And then we'll try to explain it. It says, Vayomar Hashem ata chasal kikayon, va'afal pishlo chasal kikayon el pibnei tsaro, kena kel yisbara chasal ninve, mipnei kfodo. So just like Yonah was only, he only was upset on the kikayon because he was in pain and it removed his pain and he got this great simcha, so too Hashem, Hashem is chasal ninve, but because of his kavod, kyan nivroim heim kvodo, those that are created are his. Are respected, are part of his glory. Kemoshe Kasov, Molech La'arts Kevodo. The Choshekain Mina Adam, Kemoshe Kasov, L'chvodi Barasiv. Humanity as a whole is really reflective of Hashem, and it's really Kvod Hashem. The Afapish Pirashnu Ze Al Yisrael, even though this is talking about Klal Yisrael, Mikomakom Al Minha Adam Medaber, it's really talking about humanity as a whole. Kemoshe Amar Yitzartiv Af Asisiv El Lefishi Yisrael Makirim Bekavod Akel Yosher Mishar Meina Adam Zulasi Yachacham Mishraham Amar Pasuk HaYisrael. It's really talking about all created humans and all created beings, but because the Jewish people recognize the glory of God, therefore, because of the Chachamim, therefore the Pasuk is referring to them. They're the most out of all human beings of the Kvod Shemayim. But really, Kvod Shemayim really expresses itself, according to the Radak, in all of humanity, because all of humanity is Malech La'aretz Kvoda. So the Radak's explaining what Hashem was teaching Yonah, which is that humanity is really a byproduct or is really a reflection of Kvod Shemayim, and not just Klal Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael is also a reflection of Kvod Shemayim, just on a higher level than non-Jews and then all humans. And then he says, look, keep going, we don't have to go through all the Radaks, but he says at the end, Asher lo yada, Shehem ketanim, v'lo yadu ben yiminam l'smolam, v'ein baham chet, v'ein lahem onesh, ela bavura avos. Little kids, should they be killed? They don't have any knowledge, and they can't choose. It's only because of their fathers that they're raised in this. The chevin sha'avo shavu, hinehem below onesh. Once their fathers repent, they don't have any sin. V'chein behema rabba sheish ba'ir. So to all the animals, why should they be destroyed? V'habehema in la onesh ischus. V'alkol ele roi lachus v'lachmol v'chol shekein al rabim. So he says that he should therefore have mercy on all these people because of these ideas. So the question is, did Yonah not know this? What exactly is Hashem teaching Yonah through the experience of the Kikayon? And can we tie it back to the original idea that we were trying to express earlier in the shir? So I want to say one last idea for the Kikayon. So I think that the concept of the Kikayon is really fits into to the expression or the characteristic personality trait of the Navi. So the Navi is expected to identify and place all of his emotions with Klal Yisrael. And that's really the expectation that Hashem has of a Navi, and in doing so, he's able to gain knowledge and to gain greater insight about Hashem's rachamim, his mercy on the world, and his divine intervention, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum. But on the other hand, Hashem is showing Yonah that you're limited sometimes based on that identification. Because if you look in Shemos, look in source number 10. So it says, after Moshe says, take me out, Misifrecha, Hashem says, Vayomar Hashem al Moshe, mi asher chata li emchenu misifri. He who sins towards me, I will remove from my sefer. And I think there's a shot that Moshe was actually punished for this. He was removed from one of the parshios. And Hashem is saying to Moshe that he's really wrong. His interpretation of this is wrong. That he shouldn't, even though he did save Klal Yisrael, but Hashem says, I will punish those who deserve being punished, and I will save those deserving of being saved. So sometimes I think that the Kikayon was teaching Yonah that sometimes the Navi's identification and emotions that they place in Klal Yisrael that so made him so distressful and so distraught had a negative impact on his perception of Hashgachos Hashem, on how God interacts with the world. Because like the Radak says, it's true that the Jewish people, the Torah refers to the Jewish people as Kvod Shemayim, but all of humanity is Kvod Shemayim. So the idea that Hashem is showing Yonah is that the Navi, who's expected to place all of his emotions and be in line with Klal Yisrael, shouldn't allow those feelings to obliterate or to cloud their perspective on how God relates to the world. And what it would do is that it would place this qualitative distinction in the mind of the Navi between the Jews and the rest of the world. And it would create a distortion in the idea in how God relates to the world. And God is showing Yonah through the Kikayon that Yonah places all of his emotions in the Kikayon, and he identifies with the Kikayon just like he identifies with Klal Yisrael, and he wants to die in the same way that he wants to die because Klal Yisrael were really potentially being harmed by the situation. So he feels such an emotional attachment and connection to this Kikayon, just like he felt with the Jewish people. And Hashem is showing him that, on the one hand, that's a good for the Navi. The Navi needs to do that to get knowledge about how God operates and how Rachamim works and how he interacts with the world. But the idea of the Kikayon is to show Yonah that the Navi also has to recognize that it could be a negative, that level of association, identification, is something that could cloud their perspective of how Hashem really relates to the world as a whole. And it could create a situation where Klal Yisrael is really qualitatively distinguished from the non-Jews in terms of Kavod HaBrios and Kavod Adam. And the idea that Hashem has to show him because of the demands of the Navi is the opposite, that he shouldn't allow his feelings and his sense of being with Klal Yisrael to cloud his perspective on Hashem's relationship to the world as a whole, and not just to the Jews. And it's true, like, that's what the Radak is showing you, that on the one hand, the Jews are focused on in the Psukim as being Kvod Shemayim, but non-Jews are also, and they're also a reflection of Kvod Shemayim. And he lost that, he missed that, because of the identification that he felt with Klal Yisrael. So it's a very, I would say, myopic perspective that the Navi had, that Yonah had, and that we have sometimes. Sometimes we just think of ourselves and the whole world revolving around Klal Yisrael, but the idea God is showing him is that that we have to look at a larger perspective, at a grander perspective, and we can't allow our feelings towards our Revus and our feelings towards Klal Yisrael being the Amma Nifchar to affect how we really perceive God's interaction with the world as a whole. It's not just about us, it's about others as well. And that's the point. So I think that ties into the upset, to the sadness of Yonah. Because, as I said before, Yonah was the basis for him being so extreme, like the Radak and Rashi, is that he really felt what Klal Yisrael felt, and he really couldn't tolerate seeing the harm to Klal Yisrael. But the Kikayon is showing Yonah that he shouldn't allow those feelings to cloud and to distort his idea of how God relates to the world and how Rachamim works. That Rachamim is not just for Klal Yisrael, it's for the world as well. And the Navi is sometimes put in a difficult situation, because on the one hand, there's demand for the Navi to, as I said, connect with Klal Yisrael and to utilize that to gain knowledge and to also to function for Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, that could also cloud the perspective. So the idea of the Kikayon is to teach Yonah this idea, this concept, that he shouldn't allow what he needs to do, which is to really feel what Klal Yisrael feels, to cloud his perspective on how Hashem relates to the world as a whole, as the Olam as a whole. So that's what I wanted to conclude the share with. I guess I always do a summary, so we'll just do a summary quickly, even though I just kind of did a summary, but we'll do it again. So really, the share's purpose was to tackle the last parak in Yonah, and we see that a couple things about the last parak. One is that Yonah is very upset, and he's so upset that Hashem had rachamim on Nineveh that he asked to be killed. He asks that Hashem take his life. So he has this weird death wish. And the question we asked was, why was he so upset? And why was it so extreme? And then we saw that Rashi explains that he was bothered by the fact that he would be a chakron in the eyes of the non-Jews. So again, we said, why was that such a concern of his? And furthermore, it's the opposite. They listened to him. They believed him. So why was he so concerned about this? He really wasn't a chakron. And they listened to him. They followed him. And then last, we said that Rashi contradicts himself, because in the first parak, in Parak Aleph, he says that Yonah was upset, he tries to escape because he doesn't want to see Klal Yisrael's harm. But then afterwards, it says that he was upset because he didn't want the non-Jews to look at him like he was a liar. So the question is, which one is it? And we saw that the Radak is consistent, and the Radak says that he really was upset because he didn't want to see the harm done to Klal Yisrael. And he compares Yonah to Hashem, to Moshe, and Moshe, when he's dealing with Hashem, when he says, take me out of the Sefer that you've written. So we wanted to look at that whole experience in Shemos and try to derive an idea. So we saw that Moshe really was so attached, his nefesh was, he was willing to die for Klal Yisrael, meaning that part of the Navi's role and his job is to identify, associate with Klal Yisrael fully. And in doing so, he gains knowledge about Hashgacha, about Rachamim. All these ideas can only come to the Navi once he engages his emotions fully with Klal Yisrael and really identifies. And in fact, we see the same thing by Yonah. Yonah was, that's why he was so distraught, because the Navi's personality is such that he has to feel that way about Klal Yisrael. But Rashi's pointing out an extra idea, which is that he also believed that this was his last chance as a Navi, and he was upset, and he was willing to die, or he wanted to die, because he thought that his ability to gain knowledge on this level, on the level of a Navi, was now going to be removed from him and taken away. And that's why it's Tov Mosi Mechaya, he's so distraught. But then we said, what's the Kikayon doing? What does it teach us? So the Kikayon fits in, because the Kikayon is teaching Yonah that despite the situation that a Navi has to be in, where he has to feel Klal Yisrael's pain and suffering and also their success, he shouldn't allow that to cloud his idea of how Rachamim works. And a lot of times, when a person identifies with a group tremendously, it makes it hard for the person to see outside the group and to see, you know, the ideas that exist outside the group. And so too by Yonah, by the Kikayon, that was the idea of the Kikayon, that Yonah, his emotions were so tied to the Kikayon that he says the same thing, I want to die. Meaning that Yonah identified with it, he felt he needed it, and the same way he felt about Klal Yisrael. And then Hashem shows him that he has to stop, he can't allow those emotions to cloud his perspective on how Hashem relates to the world as a whole. And a lot of times, I think there's a lesson here, which is a lot of times we do this, where we identify with a group and we feel like we're part of a group to the fullest extent. And there's a good to that, but there's also a negative, which is that you lose out on your perspective of reality beyond the group. And when you lose that, when you lose out on that, you lose out on knowledge, on genuine knowledge about how Hashem operates in the world. So I think there's a more also a Musar idea for our lives in terms of recognizing when our identification and feeling part of a group is beneficial. For example, if you're part of a shul, for example, or yeshiva or anything, and also recognizing the negatives, which is that it could prevent you from seeing concepts that exist outside, and trying to at least balance the two out appropriately. So I think that's the idea in Yonah. All right, any questions?